listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. Our guest is Daniel Horowitz. He is one of the leading lights at a terrific online resource called Conservative Review. He publishes there a column entitled The Conservative Consciousness with Daniel Horowitz. He is the author of a terrific book entitled Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. He's always a welcome guest here. Daniel, thank you so much for coming back. Good to talk with you.
Great to be with you. So much going on as always.
There is a very full plate, and I'm going to try to cover a lot of it with you quickly. You've addressed yourself in a recent column at Conservative Review to the phenomenon of cultural Marxism. I was just talking with Chris Farrell in the previous segment about what he calls a soft coup, and I wonder if you might provide some context for that soft coup by discussing this phenomenon of cultural Marxism.
You know, this week we're celebrating the birthday of George Washington, our founder, and he recognized, like all the founders and all the great early commentators like Tocqueville, that liberty is built upon the foundation of religion, morality. You know, in his farewell address, Washington said of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. You know, and he said, let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Religion, morality, history, tradition, those are all the things that Marxists need to countermand and they need to undermine before they create, you know, really economic Marxism and then take away all our liberty. The bulwark against tyranny is a foundation for a strong civil society. So when a lot of people say, and you see this among some of our allies on the right, semi-allies, libertarians, that will say, well, I don't care about these social issues anymore. It's not about us caring about social issues. It's about the left going on offense and undermining every foundation of our traditions, our founding.
As a precursor for ultimately taking down the country, which is, of course, their stated objective. Daniel, these have been much under assault of late, among other targets for the cultural Marxists in our courts. You've written an incredibly important book entitled Stolen Sovereignty on the subject. Talk about how this is manifesting itself in the courts at the moment, notably, I guess, in connection with this immigration executive order of President Trump.
Sure. And let's actually juxtapose the two issues together, you know, domestic tranquility and religious liberty at home versus Sharia-based immigration abroad. If you're a cultural Marxist, the most successful way of implementing your agenda is to do it through the courts, because that way you could retroactively enshrine it into our laws and constitution, as opposed to just merely doing it through the political discourse, which, you know, could obviously be countermanded by a later law or a later president. You do it in the courts, it's immutable. And, you know, they're basically saying that American Christians or Jews or any religion for that matter, you don't have the right with your own personal private property to, you know, not violate your conscience. Like we saw with the Washington case with Burnell Stutzman, just the latest example of that florist being forced to service a homosexual service with that runs contrary to her conscience. And again, this is not public. This is her private property. Yet at the same time, the courts are saying that there's an affirmative religious liberty right to immigrate for anyone, any of the 7.2 billion people in the world. So if you have an Islamic jihadist in Somalia or Yemen, they have an affirmative First Amendment right to immigrate. They have contorted fundamental rights, federal and state powers, just the whole separation of powers concept between the courts and other branches. All of that has been turned upside down, inside out by the court.
Yeah, you've coined the phrase, and I think actually trademarked it, perhaps, bastards on the bench for the bastardizing, really, of our constitutional freedoms. It's a stunning indictment that you've rendered, and it's the more stunning for a documentation that you've provided, Daniel Horowitz, of seven different statutes that support the president's role in making such decisions about who comes to our country, not some trumped up, if I can use that expression, constitutional right enjoyed by foreign nationals elsewhere.
And that's the thing. Like I said, the courts have flipped everything on its head beyond imaginable. I cannot imagine how you could have a worse application of the rule of law than what the courts are doing today. They take Trump's executive order, which is really either required by current law, some aspects, in other words, to cut off visas from certain countries that either don't repatriate their illegal aliens, which I believe covers 5 of the 7 or 3 of the 7 that are on the State Department's terror state sponsor list, or just the remainder of his executive order, which is covered by delegated authority explicitly by 7 statutes the courts completely ignore. And by the way, one of the statutes I mentioned that I think is lost on a lot of people, but thankfully our buddies in Texas, the Texas's Solicitor General's office mentioned this in their brief, Section 1201H and I of the U.S. Code make it very clear that the courts have no jurisdiction to adjudicate even a habeas corpus petition to on any decision issued by a consular official to revoke a visa. I mean, that was taken away from the courts. Article 3, Section 2 gives Congress the power to regulate the jurisdiction of the courts, and the courts – it's not like they overturned these laws. They ignored their existence and didn't even cite them in any of the opinions we're seeing.
Right. This is appalling, needless to say, and deeply injurious to the whole idea of the rule of law in our society. And again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your efforts, Daniel Horowitz, to hold them accountable and make sure the rest of us understand when they are deviating from their own statutory responsibilities, as well as overstepping their constitutional authorities. Let me ask you about another piece that you wrote recently, Daniel Horowitz, I believe also at Conservative Review, about a new study that suggests that Donald Trump may be on the mark on yet another aspect of his effort to protect the people of the United States, namely finding a way to build a wall that will actually not be a new burden on the taxpayer.
You know, this entire issue, Frank, has kind of been overshadowed by some of the gimmickry of, Trump and his branding. Oh, it's him and his wall, and people think it's funny. But the truth is, this is a very serious issue. Walls work. I mean, they've worked since the Great Wall of China, since ancient times, and certainly in the modern era. I basically have 2 pieces, one demonstrating its 95% to 100% effectiveness, and then one looking at the cost-benefit analysis. And once you establish that it's effective, like we saw in Israel when they constructed a similar double-layered security fence, as well as the few areas of the border where we have it in San Diego and Yuma in particular, you saw almost 100% success in that area. So with that said, the thesis of my most recent article is how absurd it is to focus on the cost of the wall. It's kind of like saying, you know, I need a front door for my home. And, you know, doors are pretty expensive these days. They could run about $1,000 for a basic door, but it's not a crushing cost, but they are somewhat expensive. You would never contemplate not putting up the door because you'll lose your entire home. And that's a similar thing here. So Steve Camerota put out a study, he's with the Center for Immigration Studies, and he showed that if the border fence would merely have a 9 to 12% success rate of keeping out illegal aliens, which, you know, is very modest. It succeeded 95 to 100% in Israel keeping out Hamas terrorists. Just 9 to 12%, you would make back the money for constructing the wall, because the cost on our criminal justice system, the cost on education and health care, and welfare of bringing in predominantly very impoverished immigrants in Central America in particular, it would be absurd to focus on the $12, $13 billion cost of the fence when in the long run we're going to save hundreds of billions in keeping out illegal aliens.
Especially if it proves to be as effective as experience suggests it will be. Extraordinarily important thoughts here, Daniel Horowitz, and I appreciate you sharing them with us as always. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Next up, Colonel Richard Kemp of the United Kingdom joins us. We'll talk about his proposal for a global alliance for NATO against the Islamic terrorists. That and more straight ahead.